This is Dan Hansis, along with Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast.
Hey, Dan.
On the latest show, we talk about the biggest surprises of training camp so far. Look out, and ooh, Stevie Johnson got a boo-boo. Check out the Around the NFL podcast at NFL.com/podcast and on iTunes.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, as always, presented by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all-day breakfast, joined in Studio 66. Bye! Oh, he's back. That means football season's just about back. Maurice Jones-Drew and fantasy guru Matt Harmon will say a proper hello to both of them in just a minute, but it is, in fact, time for the Andy Reid-style hurry-up offense. That means we're not going to hurry that much, but we'll try to get through some. Well, we're going to try to get through a couple of things.
He's already on one.
Maurice.
That is awesome.
What do we think about the Honey Badgers' new deal? Let's start there. Maurice Jones-Drew.
I think it's awesome. He deserved it. You know, the guy can play corner, safety, blitz, stop the run. I mean, even when Todd Gurley was having his big runs against the Cardinals, Honey Badger was there to stop him. He's the best football player on the defensive side in the NFL.
Whoa!
No question.
Do you want to hear what you just said and think it through?
I don't need to think it through. I said
Honey Badger, the best defensive player in pro football.
You got when you say things like that, you got to think about what he does though. He can rush the passer. He does that. He gets sacks. He gets picks. He covers guys. He can return. I mean, the guy does it all. He can be in the box. He can play deep safety. He can play corner. Who else can do that?
I'm not making an argument.
I know a lot of people say J.J. Watt, but he can't do all those things. He only can rush the passer, and that's a good thing. But this guy can do that as well.
He also catches touchdown passes too. J.J. Watt, that's impressive when he does that.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you if you put the Honey Badger on offense, he'd probably do the same thing.
But could Honey Badger flip over a 1,000-pound gigantic tractor tire? That I don't know.
What does that have to do with football?
Nothing. Harmon, how say you?
Yeah, it's a good deal to see a guy, especially who really seemed to like turn his entire life around.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's good to see those guys get rewarded. So I like that. And yeah, I'm with Maurice. He's a great player.
Speaking of turning your life around, or a guy turning his life around, what do you make about Josh Gordon? What expectations, fantasy and reality, lay it on us?
Well, I think the exciting thing about it is that it really should, at least in theory, open things up for the entire offense. You know, he's a guy that I think defenses will have to respect. In terms of what to expect from him, though, I don't really know what to expect because he's somebody we haven't seen play. By the time he gets on the field, it'll have been 22 months.
And he was fat the last time we did. He was Romo-like.
Right. There was already – yeah, those pictures.
Was he Romo-like?
Well, Romo looked fat in that picture.
Yeah, that was a pretty unflattering picture from this weekend of Romo. But I don't know what to expect from Gordon himself as an individual because, like I said, it's been a while since we've seen him on the field. And you're right, last time he was playing, there were questions about whether he was in shape, whether he was picking up the offense. But from a fantasy perspective, the only way I'd really be interested in drafting him in like the first 8 rounds would be if I can properly insulate him. And that's something that I've talked about throughout any time we've talked about Gordon on our podcast or written about him. If I go like wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver early in the draft, then maybe in the 6th round range, I'm thinking about picking up Gordon as my 4th wide receiver on a heavy team, but I don't want him to be my 2 or 3.
And yes, we will dig in hardcore a little bit on fantasy with one of the great pro football player / fantasy gurus out there. Maurice Jones-Drew, you really are the OG of that, of professional athletes
like
talking
compete,
fantasy.
Shane. I just like to compete.
That's right. I love it. Hey, real quick, Harmon, which Gordon would you rather have, Melvin or Josh for 2016 in fantasy?
Probably Josh.
There you go.
Ooh, wow. That's hard.
He is a fantasy guru, because if he'd have said Melvin, I would have just
– No.
Why? Why can't Melvin succeed in 2016,
it's, Maurice? It's a weird thing, but Wisconsin running backs don't pan out well in the NFL.
It's
weird to see that, right? And then two, he's coming off a microfracture, which I had. I had a microfracture surgery, and it's pretty tough to come off of. I think the biggest thing, though, he has to have rest. And after what he did last year, they're not willing to rest him. They're going to try to get him back out there and get him going again. And that's where you can have those issues with that lingering effect.
What about Josh Gordon? What do you think happens with him in 2016?
For me, the biggest scare, I saw a report that said he, like, pulled his quad or he strained
his
quad.
Calf injury or quad injury, yeah, something like that.
Those are fatigue injuries, right? So when you come out and you're not playing football for so long, you come back out there and you have a strain, that lingers on as well. And so, yes, he's a dynamic player. I've seen him firsthand dominate my defense when I was with the Jags in 2013. But is he in shape? And the shape, I mean, is his wind, but is his body ready to handle cutting, sprinting, stopping, jumping, all that, what you have to do in a football game.
You have the first overall pick in your fantasy draft this year, Maurice. Who's it going to be?
You know, usually normally I'd say myself, but this is year two.
No, it's sad.
Doing this. I know it sucks. I'm gonna have to go.
Charge of that. If you want to make a comeback, no one's stopping you, fella.
I'm cool. I like hanging out with you. I'm a chill.
Sweet.
Hold on. I haven't gotten you yet. We'll talk.
No, well. No, I didn't think it was directed at me. I was just saying it's sweet for you
too. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Now we go way back.
Oh, we got big news coming up in just a second here regarding me and Maurice.
I'm gonna have to go Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. What do you think's going to happen? He's going to get – no one ever has their four-game suspension. I mean, you might get it knocked down.
Well, you have to read it. You have to read what it said. It said facing, which means there is no determination. Is he having it or not? He's facing it. And there's a lot of guys that have faced a four-game suspension, i.e. Richard Sherman, who had his taken away. And a lot of guys, when you just have to read it. I mean, we all jump to conclusion when we see it. But I really sat down and kind of looked at it. It was like, all right, he's facing it. It happens. I still believe that even with that four-game suspension last year, he played six games, and he still scored. It was one of the top scorers in those six games. He's going to get the ball. They're going to feed him. I still think he is the number one guy.
Well, hypothetically, if he misses four games, who would you take number one? If you're willing to play hypothetical.
Yeah, I mean – and then I'd have to either go Antonio Brown or Odell.
I was wondering if you would go RB or wide receiver there.
I'm
I'll
a PPR
you,
guy, though.
Yeah, me too.
No, I don't like that nonsense.
Oh, come on, Chuck.
You were talking about some auction thing on
auction is the way to go. That's fantasy football for adults. That's advanced fantasy.
It is fun.
It is way better. Who's the first overall pick? What's the savvy play, wide receiver or running back?
I think it's wide receiver. Just the way that the position scores right now, especially if you do play in PPR, really the only running back I'd consider one overall is David Johnson. And there's even reports about, is he going to split time or is it going to be a series-by-series thing? But, yeah, for me it would be Brown. I don't mind Beckham at number one either. But
what about Gurley? You say no to Gurley. We just forget about him. He's in our backyard.
I do. I worry that playing in the Rams offense is not a good thing because it's not. Are they going to score enough touchdowns for him to be a consistent scorer? He also wasn't involved very much in the passing game last year. And those things could change, but just at number one overall, I think it's too much.
All right. That being said, start the show!
Damashek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. And once again, welcome to the DDFP. And once again, we are presented by McDonald's. I said it before, I say it again. Go get some of that all-day breakfast. I'm taking some all-day breakfast. I don't even know what time we're going to get there, but it doesn't really make a difference because I can get it anytime I want. Me, Akbar Bajabiamila, and there's word that maybe one Maurice Jones-Drew will even meet us at the Coliseum to kibitz with the L.A. Rams. They're back, Maurice. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, they're back. I'm excited. There could be a chance.
Are you excited? Do you feel satiated with what you did on the gridiron in your pro football days? Or do you have a little feeling that maybe you're missing out a little bit on training camp right now?
Yeah, that's one thing I don't want to do.
You don't miss it?
No, I don't miss training camp. Like, you know what's funny? And I probably have to see a psychologist about this, but I have these dreams about, like, some of the plays that I've did. And it's not the good plays, it's the bad plays. It's like the drop passes or the misprotections, the fumbles, those things. And I'm like, you know, and I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's good. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to worry about it. But those are the things, like, when you play for so long, that's what your mind and your body is. And it always happens, like, around August. Like, I'll start limping a little bit. Things will start hurting. Because that's what my body's been used to the last 20 years.
Well, we jumped in real hardcore on the Packers on the most recent DDFP. I encourage you, Nate Demand, that you go and dig that one up. Really good stuff with Greg Jennings, one of the high-end wide receivers of his generation. And he abided by the one and only cardinal rule here in Studio 66. No jive. And he answered tough questions about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. And
he was talking trash about AR, man.
Wait, you heard that? You watched it?
I watched did he talk trash here?
Oh, so you're watching something else.
No, this was a long time ago when he said it, when he was with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah,
he was talking bad about – did you ask him about that?
Well, of course, we brought that up. I don't shy from the hard issues here.
Did he backpedal? Did he turn into Dion? Or?
No, he said he stands by it, but that he's cool with it from where he sits. And we asked him, who would you rather – rank the QBs, rank Favre or Rodgers. I won't give you the answer. Go dig that up. And also we asked who would be more fun to drive across the country with, who's more likely to go for his wallet if the three of you are sitting down to dinner, all those things. He answered them. Also, Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV proved to be a gangbusters guest, and he will be back with us too. He tackled the three big concerns for the Packers going into 2016, not the least of which their receiving core. And Matt Harmon, of course, dig up his work. It's great stuff. Reception Perception, the author of that. And what's the Twitter handle? At Matt Harmon?
Yeah, at Matt Harmon underscore BYB. Unfortunately, I'm just kind of living with the underscore right now.
The underscore's the worst.
I know.
I can't stand it.
When I have an underscore?
It's bad. The underscore is a bad look.
It's confusing to me. How do you get it? Where do you find it? It's tricky.
Are you kidding me?
It puts me out.
I would like to know how many people, like percentage-wise, in the general public know what an underscore even is.
I don't know. What do you mean, what it is?
Like, where to find it on the keyboard?
That's what I'm telling you.
You're like, yeah, I was going to say, you're like 1990s with that laptop. We're all using our cell phones now.
I would love
to. Catch up to 2016.
I like have the big picture, you know, and I can search quickly
on
here.
The iPhone Plus.
We have a lot to talk about. We have to talk about the best NFL triplets. Of course, this was made famous in the early 90s by the Cowboys, by Aikman, Irvin, and Emmett. And over the last 3 years, we've been giving our triplet rankings here. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we also want to talk some fantasy, as I already mentioned. But first, as they just started to do a little bit, Matt Harmon, who is a new face to Maurice and vice versa. Why don't you guys were just getting to know each other a little bit. For Maurice, I'll start with you. Initial impressions when Matt Harmon walks in, he's got the flaxen hair combed back.
Should I keep it 100?
Sure.
Yes,
yeah, like
please.
That.
I thought he was like one of the predators that was going to come in and cut. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, but he's got that cool long beard like a hipster.
It is. He is a hipster. You know, found out he's from Virginia.
He loves your fantasy.
No, he hates my fantasy.
No, he doesn't like your fantasy opinions. That's right. In fact, as I was talking about the triplets with Matt Harmon just yesterday, and I asked him, you know, do you feel I have the receivers right? I said, well, Maurice Jones-Drew thinks this. And he said, I don't give a blank what Maurice thinks.
Why do you have
about.
To use explicits when you use my –
And I said, why would you say that about Maurice? He said, no. I'm not saying that about the individual. I'm saying that when I rank things, I just
– Yeah, it wasn't personal.
I cut
correctly.
Out all other opinions.
If it had been anybody else, I would have said that.
That's right. Would have said that about Dave.
You know, Dave
– I especially would have said it
sometimes
about
when you're new here, you know, you just need to just – be quiet and just walk the path.
That's what we did.
That's what I did.
That's true. Yes.
Myself and Ike, we walked the path. We didn't say much to anyone.
Reese and Ike Taylor, low profile. They didn't say boo to anybody.
We didn't stir up nothing.
You didn't stir up anything.
We didn't stir up nothing, Shaq.
Hey, speaking of fantasy, Maurice and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. The tails will remain sketchy here, but I am pleased to say that you will be in September, well, unless you don't like either, like Matt Harmon's not going to like this.
And that's okay.
He already doesn't like
it.
Oh,
that is just not fair. I am certainly going to.
He will
to
not be a
like
guest. Him. That's how we do it.
You know what? I would like him to be a guest as a matter
I'm petty,
of fact.
Shaq.
I told you not to take it personally.
Me and Maurice, and I'm just going to leave it at that, are going to be doing something on NFL Network for your viewing pleasure. And we're going to kibitz about this, that, and the other. But I think a lot of fantasy will be discussed there.
I think it will be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Matt won't be there.
Matt Harmon is a great one. I don't – you know what? It's a shame that there's a rift here, and hopefully by the end of this show, it will be we'll have put some figurative salve on that wound. Matt Harmon, one of the great fantasy minds out there. Like I say, Reception Perception is his his calling card, but knowledgeable about all things fantasy. Before we get to that, though, fellas, real quick, I mentioned, and you can go to NFL.com, as of – Wednesday, I guess let's say midday Wednesday it should be out, are my triplet rankings. This is the fifth edition of them. I've done them each of the last 3 years. And spoiler alert, get ready. If you want to just read them clean, then don't listen to the next couple minutes here. I have the Dallas Cowboys at number one. Triplets. That's Romo. That's Zeke Elliott running behind that great O-line. And Dez Bryant, who I feel like suffers a little bit from, what have you done for me lately? People sort of forget his dominance, but let's remember Dez Bryant, even when Calvin Johnson was in the league, was I mean, Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver, but Dez Bryant, it doesn't matter what you do in terms of doubling him. He is able – he can be blanketed on both sides and still go up and get it like nobody else in the league. Am I right here, Maurice?
I think you put a lot of pressure on a rookie. You know, and no matter how good Ezekiel Elliott will be, he's going to hit a wall. And that's something that we all see with rookies. And so if we're talking fantasy purposes – I have him as one of the top running backs. We have to understand, though, come November, December, he's not going to be running like
that. Did that
happen
to you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, because you have to remember, as a rookie, you've been training since January or whenever his last game was, right? Mm-hmm. So you've been training this whole time around. You're going to get tired. And then you had the stress of football, all the other stuff that comes with it. You know, you have people. He's just going to have a lot coming on him. And what ends up happening is, at the end of the season, you just get tired.
Hmm.
And you don't have the same burst. And it may be the wall maybe lasts 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a week. I don't know. But he's going to hit a wall. And the key is how long will that wall take for him to get over it? Can he get over it? And if he does, will they be back? And that's the question.
Well, also, speaking of backs, Tony Romo better not try to help Zeke Elliott up over that wall or he might throw his back out. He's an old man who is quite brittle at this point. So all hopes that Cowboys fans have right now are predicated on this man who just doesn't seem to be able to stay clean very long in Tony Romo. And now how old is he, Harmon?
I think he's 33 or 34.
No,
he might even be 36.
36. 36 is what he is. Yeah, confirmed. I was going to say
33, 34.
Yeah, no, he's old now. But Zeke Elliott, from a fantasy perspective and otherwise, they do – and people ask, well, why did they go get Alfred Morris? Well, because they didn't know Zeke Elliott was going to be there for
him.
That's why they signed him and they liked Darren McFadden. But as it stands now, and Lance Dunbar, they can't go into the season with all four of these. I guess they could, but they're not going to have Alfred Morris just standing there, right? So I think – from a fantasy perspective, Zeke Elliott, everybody's over the moon about him, but I think he's not going to have gangbusters numbers because they're going to give those goal line carries to somebody else. True or false?
I don't know about goal line carries to somebody else, but the one thing that I think could hamper his ceiling would be Dez Bryant's effect in the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably the best touchdown scoring receiver in the NFL. He's never even had over 160 targets in his career, but he's been consistently one of the top scorers in fantasy because he's an elite threat in the red zone. So I don't know about goal line carries to somebody else, but maybe goal line throws to Dez Bryant could limit his ceiling. But I think the great part about Elliott as a potential late first round pick is that he's got the best combination of ceiling and floor among running backs because you know he's going to get fed. They didn't take him fourth overall to not have him push 300 carries, and it's just a perfect environment for running back success. So he can have a great floor even if he doesn't necessarily have that great ceiling.
And, you know, this all starts with the conversation, like I say, about those early 90s Cowboys, and now the Cowboys are once again, at least according to me, atop that mountain. But – what happens then, Maurice, in some basic X and O here? What are, for all that ails the Cowboys defensively, and I mean, every game they play, I keep saying, is going to be 53-49, it seems like.
Right.
Because I don't know who they're going to stop. But I also can't figure out who's possibly going to stop that offense so long as Romo is healthy. Practically, what do you do if you have this dominant receiver who requires, no matter what, that you're doubling him, no matter what? And then, you know, Jason Witten's old and everything, but, you know, Gavin Escobar, whatever. I don't like Terrence Williams. I think they would have done well to get somebody else.
Yeah, they should have got a number two.
Then just beat everybody 62-58 would have been the strategy. But as it is now, if you have this home run hitter in the backfield, you have to pack it in a little bit because you don't want Zeke Elliott getting to the next level on you because he's going to kill you. But then Dez Bryant can kill you downfield no matter what. What are defenses going to do to stop this offense?
You know, they'll roll coverage to Dez, which and being like you could have eight guys in the box and still have the safety play over the top over Dez and have a backside corner kind of play the second to half. But I still think when you're talking about these guys and when you're talking about the Cowboys, that defense will be fine. And the reason I say that is because they're going to play cover two. And they're going to sit and play the soft coverage, and they're going to let you drive the bend, don't break, hold you on the red zone to 3 points, or let your quarterback throw a pick. And, yes, they don't have the pass rush like we thought they were going to have. But they have some young guys that can still go. They added Justin Duran as a linebacker, a fast guy who's been there before, knows their system. They have a decent secondary around it. They're just going to sit. A lot of teams are going to that now because they have these high-powered offenses. The Pittsburgh Steelers are one, right? Their offense is high-powered. Regardless if Le'Veon's there or not, they're going to be able to put up points. their defense, on the other hand, is going to sit back and let you and force you to make the mistake. And so as long as Tony Romo, as you said, the key is Tony Romo.
Yeah,
sure. And it comes to everything. If Tony Romo can stay healthy, they'll be fine. But as soon as he gets banged up and you have to put Dak Prescott or whoever else is there in, it's going to be an issue.
I actually don't hate the idea of Dak Prescott because at least he's a change of pace. I always like that. I don't like a guy.
He wasn't in a pro-style offense. So it's a,
I know,
it's
but
a,
cut
it's
him
a learning
loose.
Curve.
When he's a wild card like that and you don't know what he's going to do, you kind of let him go out there and play on instinct. And his, I mean, you don't, they're not going to make the playoffs if he has to be out there in week two for the next 15 games. But
right. I've always
said like
that,
him
I've always said
around.
The backup quarterbacks I like when they have legs. Just
that's right.
The ability to move around, because I think you hear that sometimes, like defensive coordinators take like 3 or 4 games to catch up to an offense's game plan.
I completely abide
and so
by
if,
this.
If you've
yes.
got to win like just a few games with your backup quarterback, it's nice for them to move around. I mean, even Terrell Pryor, who's a wide receiver now, had some success against the Colts simply because he could move.
Yeah. So what do we think about then the Harmon real quick, and you can look at this again, NFL.com, the triplet rankings, anything jump out at you that is wildly inaccurate, either with an individual or with my triplet ranking?
Oh,
I was surprised.
Chuck, I am done with you.
Wait a second. Well, about what?
17 for the Raiders?
What, you want them higher up there?
I mean, they have the best triplet under 25.
Let me take a look.
Carr, Cooper,
we have the Raiders.
Murray.
What do you think about Murray?
Me and Latavius had a long talk over the summer about some of the things that was going on, and I told his because he's so
what was
tall.
Going on?
Well, he gets hit and he goes to sleep, and he's not protecting himself, and reason being is because he's 6'4". So he has to understand you can't run through the hole sky high. You have to drop your shoulders. But he's a home run hitter. He runs a 4-3. I mean, he has the ability to get open in space and run past guys. The key is you have to be able to protect yourself at all times. So remember we were watching the Pittsburgh game, and Mike Mitchell came and hit him. And it wasn't that Mike Mitchell, like, intended to hit him like that. He just ran into him. But because Latavius was so high, he didn't get low enough. He gets hit. And I said, that's the biggest thing where you have to protect yourself. Because a team – especially this day and age with concussions and things like that, a team's not going to pay you no matter how good you are if you have concussion issues. They'll rather go out and find someone else. I think Latavius, the guy, he's a threat out of the backfield catching the ball. He's a big back who can do goal line carries, short yardage. And he can – I mean, he's your every down back. He's what a lot of people want in the back. Granted, he's 6'4". He's a little taller, but
– you saw him up close. He's good enough to be the every down back in the NFL.
No question. I mean, the thing about every down back, and people think it's a size, it's a ball-carrying issue, right? So, for example, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, he didn't fumble, right? He's an every down back. As long as you can hold on to the rock, you'll be fine. Or you can minimize those fumbles, you'll be fine. Now, Adrian Peterson's a different guy because he does fumble a lot, but his talent outweighs that risk, right? So the reward outweighs the risk. But with other guys, it's can you handle the load 300 carries without dropping the ball? If you can do that, we'll be fine. That's an every down back.
I agree with that. I always say when people want to get into that, Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley or Le'Veon Bell in better days, who's the best running back? I will go Bell, and yes, I bleed black and gold, but I say Bell because he never fumbles. He's
right.
He lost one fumble in his rookie season and hasn't lost one since. I mean, that Adrian Peterson, say whatever you want about all day being, you know, in the conversation for best running back ever, but he has now, for the record, fumbled away the two biggest games of his career.
No, and it happens, and that's an issue. And so when you have a guy that drops the ball, it's funny. I got into a debate on I have this Madden franchise that I play, and a couple guys are in the league that are in it, and we were talking about the corner from Detroit getting the big contract, Slay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. And no, I'm happy the guy got paid, but that's a lot of money for PBUs, like for pass breakups. What does that do for me? On defense, you got to turn the ball over. Give the ball back to me so my offense can get back on the field. Mm-hmm. You batting the ball down, this means you have another chance to go out there and be exposed. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at Adrian Peterson or take it to the offensive side, offensively, you don't want to ever give the ball back. You want to hold it and so that you can wear their defense down and put pressure on their offense. Now, with AP, yeah, you'll get that home run threat, but every now and then he'll cough it up, and that's an issue.
Many ways to skin the cat, and the old cliche about the only statistic that matters is the final score. But 1A is the turnovers, and that's a cliche itself. But it really is ultimately true, and never more so, I feel, than right now. The defenses now, you can actually look at the way these defenses are being built. They're going out there to get ball-hawking players, much more so than, the Honey Badger, for all his virtues, gets the ball. You know, I mean, you look at the defenses that are successful now are turning the other teams over. The Broncos literally don't win the Super Bowl if they aren't scoring defensive touchdowns
Absolutely.
As much as they were last year. Harmon, Eddie Lacy, where do you come down on him this year? And I also want to get your thoughts on that, Maurice, because Trent Richardson now waived by the Ravens. By the way, that's an ugly trend. Yasiel Puig of the Dodgers, once considered to be a guaranteed Hall of Famer in his rookie season. Trent Richardson, so highly thought of. Now both of these guys just abject busts. Anyway, Eddie Lacy, is he going to eat himself out of the league, or is this just a one-year loss to get a big deal and then that's it?
I mean, if we're going by the pictures, he looks really good now, of course. You know, mad respect, I guess. A year after getting yourself out of shape, you get back into it, sure. In terms of his outlook this year, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. There are some people that are writing it in pen that he's going to bounce back. There are others that just don't buy into it. I see the downside with Lacy, but I also see the upside. And just because I like running backs that are attached to good offenses, regardless of what you think about their quality of play. And I think clearly the Packers offense is going to bounce back this year with Jordy Nelson hopefully coming back on the field soon, and Rodgers playing a little bit better, and just everybody kind of falling back to their natural position, including Randall Cobb, who I'm really excited about this year. I think that the Packers offense rebounds, and therefore Lacy rebounds at least a little bit.
What do we think, Maurice? Trent Richardson, I don't know what the issue is. And I'm kind of tired of talking about him at this point. I mean, I assume he's taking his last carry in the NFL now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought it was the end for him in Oakland. You know, a guy wasn't in shape, you know, didn't. And then I guess this offseason he got in shape and looked great. And whatever happened with the Ravens, it happened. We all don't know why he was released, but to be released this early in the camp, something had to happen.
Good sign.
I think he has to, you know, he might have some
issues. Go ahead. Speculate recklessly if you want. What happens when a guy gets cut this early? He didn't get along with people? The coaches didn't like his attitude or something?
No, either he didn't pass the conditioning test or, you know, he got into – a lot of things can happen, Sheck. I mean, there can be some stuff where he just was it was a numbers game. They needed someone else because someone got hurt. I mean, you talk about it, their first-round pick still hasn't played yet.
Yeah, they're deep at running back.
Yeah, they
too.
Got like seven of them.
They have Forsett. They just drafted Kenneth Dixon. They took Buck Allen in the fourth round last year. They have Taliaferro, who's played a little bit for them, and then Terrence West, who is another guy that has bounced around a little bit. They said he's the most explosive player in camp so far.
What's your prediction, Maurice, for Eddie Lacy this year?
You know, I don't.
Fantasy perspective, top five running back, top 10?
No, I think he's going to split carries with Starks, and that's kind of where they're going to go with it. I think, I think the Packers organization understand when you have a guy with a problem, when you give him money, it's going to just enhance that problem. And so this is his contract year. Guys like to do well on that. But I think, again, last year they saw how much success they had with the splitting the backs late in the year, that they're going to go back to that. And then they're not, you know, so I think it's going to be a split again. I think it's similar in Jacksonville. We're going to have two backs that carry the ball about 150 times, 140 times, and, you know, they just want to get a running game so Aaron Rodgers can get back to doing that play action, throwing the ball.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because the Packers have had an up-close look at this since Eddie Lacy got to the league. I wonder if, no matter what he's doing, if Ted Thompson has already decided – well, we're assuming that this is it for Eddie Lacy. We're going to run him into the ground. I would be your James Starks point is well taken, except that they might look at it nihilistically and just say, we're not keeping Eddie Lacy. Let's just pound him into the ground here because he's our best option at running back this year.
Where they should make more use of Starks is like in the screen game. They haven't really ever had a good pass-catching running back, and I thought there were plenty of times when Starks looked good on screens last year, and they just never really made good use of him. He's also a pretty good pass blocker, too. All those things I would think Starks would make use of, and I think this is – despite the fact that Sheck led in with this whole, I don't care what you have to say, Maurice, that's not completely true. I think something
I just
that
like I'd, to make I'd, people feel uncomfortable.
Of course, and I don't feel uncomfortable. But I think we're all feeling good here.
All right, challenge accepted.
Yeah, sure. I think one thing I'd ask you, like, because this is something I've been working in my head, is like, he was so heavy last year, clearly out of shape, and now, I mean, he looks great, but it's kind of a chore on your body to change that quickly. And is it not at all, or am I way out of left field?
Not really. I mean, I could. You know, there's been times where I gained weight in the off season because. Yeah, you carry the ball 400 times, you touch it 400 times, you have to rest, and then, you know, my body type might go up, obviously, but I would get back down to, like, 210, and it's not a chore. I mean, it's just – it's.
Really? That doesn't fatigue the body
It's
at
not
all.
– I guess I may have been not phrasing this the right way, but, like, does your running style change at all? Does like the way you take punishment, is it different at all?
No, I think for him, the biggest thing for him was he just wasn't quick enough to get through those holes last year.
And so
even if he went out and has a great year, I think the Packers still, and most GMs always do, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, okay, if we pay this guy, and I remember the GM told me, like, if we pay you, what's going to happen? Are you going to work harder or are you going to just be content? And so when you have a guy the year, and they don't look to pay you your contract year. They look to pay you the year before. They get you cheaper. Well, you were, 280 pounds, whatever it might have been. So I think for Eddie Lacy, hopefully, he understands that you can't eat yourself out of this league. And if he can go out there and put together a decent year, they might give him a two-year deal or they might try to lock him in. But they're not going to pay him that big money because, again, this league is starting to turn to a two-back system. If you look at every team, look at Seattle. They drafted three backs. You lost one. You brought three in. I mean, teams are starting to go to that because at the end of the day, they need someone fresh in December.
Oh, man, there's so many questions that this is raising just about running backs. Real quick, though, Matt Forte – visited us here in Studio 66 just a couple
That's
of
my
weeks
guy.
Ago.
That's my
He's
friend.
Walking. I saw him walking in the hall. That's the reality. Matt Harmon, you're a young fella. What are you, like 17 or so?
I just turned 25 today.
25. Is that right? It's your birthday?
These are babies here.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah, That's thanks. Terrific.
I'm not really a big birthday person, but I appreciate that.
You're not a big birthday
person. This is one of the theories in life that people just don't understand. But I had a lot of friends growing up that were one of those, like, it's my birthday month. It's my birthday week. And I just found that so kind of obnoxious that now I'm just like, no, it's my birthday. We'll go out and have a few drinks and all that. And that's it. I don't really.
Do you hear this guy?
I don't.
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't.
Hey, Sheck, I'm still 29 because I haven't celebrated my 30th yet. You feel me?
Marcus Grant made a great point that because I said we were emailing back and forth about what we're going to do tonight, and I said
name drop, ding.
Well, yeah, a little bit. So he's like, so what are we going to do? And I said, well, I don't really require a lot of extra attention on my birthday. He's like, yeah, that's because you require so much regular attention on all the other 64 days, and that's probably accurate.
Bing.
That's a Marcus joke.
I got that joke.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, 25 was hard on me too.
Was it?
Well, because I don't know why that was one of the most devastating birthdays of my life for me, because it sort of set into me that 7 years before I was just 18 years old. And think about where you are when you're 18, you're leaving home, you're going off somewhere. That feels like the sea change from 18 to 25 is massive, but you want to talk about a big change in one's life. 7 years before that, 18 to 11, you're just a little kid. You're just barely lucid.
You're thinking too much. My 25th birthday was hard because I was just coming off a knee surgery and I couldn't really do much. But, hey, when I turned 26, it was 2011. It was the best year of my life.
Is that true?
It was.
So
best year.
Maybe some good stuff coming up for you, Matt Harmon. Happy birthday, fella.
Appreciate that.
What can we do to help you celebrate?
We're going out to drink later. You want to come?
No.
Okay.
Why don't you invite Maurice?
I quit that.
You don't booze anymore?
Nope, I stopped.
You don't have a drink?
You can stand and hang out.
Only water.
Do you feel that is what's wrong with Yasiel Puig and or Trent Richardson? Do people – what? Because we talked about this, Maurice, when you weren't here about – well, when the Le'Veon Bell news broke and then Josh Gordon was his suspension. Well, I guess he's down for the first four games. I feel conflicted because I get it on one hand. And we talk about Eddie Lacy. And it seems irresponsible that you can make millions of dollars if you just don't eat or you don't burn tree.
Right.
But then on the other hand, burning tree is going to be legal in our country. So you're going to shut guys down in the middle of their career for something that in 6 months or in 3 years, everybody in the 50 states will legally be allowed to do?
I think
it's a little bit like the Untouchables almost. The thing that always stuck in my craw watching the movie The Untouchables is the fact that, like, yeah, all right, Al Capone, bad guy, killing everybody, not a good guy, and Elliot Ness, Kevin Costner, they're the good guys. But then again, like just booze we're talking about, right?
Well, back then it was – I think more than anything, we all have issues. And sometimes you have to have – there's different ways we deal with them. You have to deal with them in moderation, right? So, for me, I would drink, and I would do it in moderation. I would do it on like Monday nights when I had Tuesday to recover and do all that. You know, never been a big burn tree guy. Been around a lot of guys that do it. But you have to do it in moderation. Again, I mean, the NFL only tests for it once a year. Now, if you get in the program, that's your fault. And now right. they go test you whenever they want to.
I've talked to NFL players who call it the idiot test. Oh, because if you fail it the first
test.
Time, you know when it's coming.
Yeah, it's a stupid
test. So
there's
no reason that you would ever fail that.
Right. And so you have that. But, again, moderation's with everything. Especially, you know, I tell people, and this is something my agent taught me, was like, whoever you are before you have money, you're going to be bigger, whatever that is, when you have it, right? So if you like to burn tree, as you say, well, hey, you give a guy $50 million, he's going to try to burn all the trees,
yeah,
right?
Right.
If you're a big drinker, whatever it may be. And so for me, you know, I'm a video games guy. And so for me, that's just kind of where I went with it. But it's just again, moderation. I think that's in life, though. You can't just – I just can't booze all the time. That's why I said, like, I stopped for, like, you know, I'm going to try to stop for a while and try to, like, get my body back and those type of things. But, you know, I may have a drink here or there, but I'm going to try to stop because – I feel like if I keep going, you know, I'm just going to just keep going. And so I don't want to do that.
Well, Matt Harmon's going to go out. He's going to ignore that
drink
advice.
All the water for the well.
It's not going to be in moderation tonight. There's going to be leftovers in that thick beard of his. Tomorrow you're going to find remnants.
I had a beard.
So that would not be the first time.
Now you couldn't grow a beard like Harmon.
I tried. It wasn't close.
All right, let's talk about some fantasy.
Oh, here we go again, guys. It's that time once again. It's our surprise random game show.
All right. I love the game show. Let's do it.
I'm always ready to compete, fellas.
Right. So today we've got Matt Harmon, fantasy guy, MJD, former.
Behind the glass, producer Kent Brown comes up with the subjects for the fantasy or for the game show. And last week he embarrassed himself show by asking, what are the 20 most visited American cities by vacationers?
Wow.
Who cares? I mean, what
that's a pretty good one.
Kind of. I like talking 20, about
like
all 20. Manner of things.
A lot.
I fielded questions this morning on Twitter about fruit. And let me tell you something about fruit out there right now, by the way. The state of fruit in 2016 is shameful. I've hailed the deliciousness of our produce in America
the last couple of years.
Hot, we're getting to it.
Hot fruit takes.
We bottomed out this last night when I had a white peach, as dependable a fruit as you can get in the 21st century.
Or a nectarine.
It was gross. It was mealy and terrible. Let's go watermelon. Let's go strawberry. Let's go red grapes. The door is open for you. Shecky Awards.
Green grapes.
No.
Oh, are we doing the pie off this year?
Got the pie off,
Murray. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to win this.
You gonna do something this
year?
Oh,
we're gonna.
Go to us. Last year,
I'm not gonna do that because I didn't know about it. Y'all threw a sprung on me too late. I got a secret weapon coming in.
Is that true?
Flying in for it.
Oh,
just for it. Big dollars.
Very
exciting.
All right, go ahead. What's the trivia question?
All right, guys. So today's trivia has to do with running backs and stats, just to appease here to our birthday boy and former Pro Bowl running back. Mm.
Why did none of these questions ever suit me? Why are they always more about Maurice, Matt Harmon? He loves his fantasy stats, so he's going to be up to speed on the number.
Goodness.
All right, go ahead.
There is a Steeler in the answer. That's where you come in.
Franco Harris.
So you can get one. Franco Harris?
No, go. No. Just go.
That's his official guess.
Yeah, exactly. Now, okay, guys, so here's what we got. So last year, there were only three players in the NFL to rush for at least 1,100 yards. That's the benchmark we're going with. 1,000, too easy these days. 1,100 yards. MJD, we know you broke that mark three times during your career.
Ooh.
So there are currently 23 players that have rushed for at least 1,100 yards in a season. How many out of those 23 can you name?
Wait, give it to me one more time.
I got it. No, I got it.
Give me one more.
Can I go first?
Give me one more time, though.
Can I go first?
I want to understand the question.
Adrian Peterson.
Basically, it's how many current running backs have ran for at least 1,100 yards in a season.
All right, Adrian Peterson. I said Adrian Peterson.
And you only have to do it one time in your life.
Correct.
It's going to get hard. Let's go.
They have to be active right now.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. That's one for me. There we go. Check.
No, Harmon's next.
Doug Martin.
Oh, that was easy. He went to the, like, you're wait. You're supposed to wait for him.
No way.
Check.
I don't know. I'm out. No. Chris Johnson.
Duh. I'm going to go with Alfred Morris.
Ooh.
Oh, little free there. You like that.
That's nice.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Young you.
D'Angelo Williams.
He did have 1,500 one season.
Yeah, D'Angelo's on the list twice. He's done it twice.
Okay. Go check.
I don't like this question. Why? I'm really freezing here.
Don't.
Arian Foster.
I was gonna say him. Justin Forsett. Thank you. You don't have to say yep. I know it. This is what I do know.
What do you know?
This is what I do. I got another one just sitting right here.
I got one in the back pocket,
I'm going to throw out.
Got a couple. I froze for a second there, but I've
he doesn't know.
Sean McCoy. I'm waiting for you two to stop.
Now that's an insult.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Frank Gore. That was easy. I mean, you don't have to insult my answer.
Darren McFadden.
That was the one I just had written down there, too. Matt Harmon.
How many have we gone so far?
DeMarco Murray.
Ah, that's a good one.
That was easy.
They're not all easy because you didn't say them.
So far, you guys have got 11 out of 23.
He's trying to get in your head when he
says
that.
I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy.
Matt Forte.
Yeah. I was going to say. Oh, real quick. Halftime entertainment. So Matt Forte was in here. He's your friend, and
that's
we were talking about your best friend. Yeah, and we talked about that he's a best friend of yours and everything.
Yes, he is.
And while we were having a conversation about you, I complimented him because he really looks svelte. Like, it looks like he's really been working out a lot this offseason. And I let him know. I said, hey, you look terrific. You lost some weight. And listen to that conversation real quick. You look fit to me, more fit than you were the last time I saw you. Am I right?
Yeah, of course.
You lightened up.
I've been training, you know, going into training camp, and I think the last time you saw me was probably around the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah, you. I mean, you legitimately look. So you lost the weight, and your good friend Maurice Jones-Drew found it.
Well, he took it from me and a lot of other people and put it on himself.
So he made it seem like you. Seemed like he was taking a shot at you when he said that you picked up that weight.
It happens.
It's rough.
Boy, that's a good friend. I don't know about him, but I know you're a good friend, Maurice. You're not raw with him, huh? That doesn't hurt your feelings?
It hurts him real bad. But it's okay.
Are you going to call him?
Nope.
You're not going to let him know your feelings?
I'm just not going to talk to him. When he calls me, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to answer.
I'm sorry. I'm busy picking up weight, apparently.
That's right.
Can't pick up the phone. I'm busy picking up weight,
that's
friend.
That's exactly right.
Pal.
Hit me right on the top of the head, Jack.
More trouble started. I can't feel.
Why are you over there? Quit working.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
go
I got
ahead.
My answer.
All right, go ahead.
This on you.
Jamal Charles.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Four times for Jamal.
That's a real good one. Oh, it's getting rough.
It's not getting anything. It's fine.
I got to just keep thinking of players.
I think I've got a deep one, but man.
How many names are there? They're 23 total?
23, nine more to go.
It still seems like a lot.
Le'Veon Bell had to have done it.
That's where I was going to go.
I was stumped by that because he said – because, well, I got tripped up there because Bartlett said a Steeler is on the list, and when D'Angelo went, I thought, well, wait a second.
Who's the running back for the Bengals that fumbled in the
no way. Does that count?
What's his name?
I can tell you his name, but it doesn't count.
Jeremy Hill.
There you go.
Bing! Let's go.
Wait a second. Did you say the name to him?
No, nobody said it. I came up with it. I had to think. I was going to say Jeremy Langford, but then I was like, no, that's Chicago.
I don't want to go with my reach one right now.
Go with your reach. Go with your reach.
Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
No.
T-Mobile.
Yeah, Todd Gurley, right.
That's not Todd. I didn't say Todd Gurley. I said Tyrod Taylor.
Well, yeah.
As soon as we finish this game, I want to talk about Todd Gurley.
Okay.
But first, let me give you another name to add to your list. I'm thinking about it now.
Can we get a timer on this
game? There's no timer on it. There's nothing to time.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be an all-day show.
Delay a game.
The correct answer is Steven Jackson.
He's not active.
Still active.
He's not on a team. How is he active? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a good one. I got one for you. I'm going to come up with another
four times for Steven Jackson.
Thank but you. He's not active, so that doesn't matter.
Thank you. Tell him that at camp. He's over off at camp sweating it out, Maurice.
Nah, he's five more to go.
Yeah.
Five more.
I want to say this guy's name, but I think he's close, but he didn't do it, so I can't say that. Mark Ingram.
Nope. Got to 1,000.
Never got to it was either him or Chris Ivory.
I don't think
Ivory got there either.
Yeah. Well, now you can guess all you want when it's your turn again, Maurice.
But
you're out.
I'm out now because you guys cheated. Because I could throw out a name that a guy's not on the team and active.
Yeah. So Marshawn, he hasn't filed paperwork, has he?
Exactly. Oh, he's retired. He's not a camp.
He's officially retired.
Oh, he officially retired.
He has filed the paperwork.
No, he didn't.
So wait a second. So. It's a three-way tie unless I get an answer here.
Go.
All right. I'm going to look through my rankings.
Pressure's on.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not. I was just teasing you.
I was
Maurice.
Over here going through the
I was just making a fun
funny.
Joke.
Thank you.
That's it.
I can't believe I blew it on.
When it's time for me to get serious, though, I will. And when I get serious, I'm going to give you a name. And then you're going to say Dave Smart. Not like everybody says.
You're stalling, and that's not going to work.
You sure it won't work?
Positive.
So far, it seems like it's working beautifully.
They had to restart the music for God's sakes.
I know.
Sakes.
Ridiculous already. I'm going to go.
Can I give you a name? I got one I really want to know if it's right or not.
I don't remember how many yards he had. I'm going to go with Devonta Freeman.
Nope.
Lamar Miller.
Oh, hold on. You guys are all back alive now.
Oh,
are we?
So there's Maurice's answer.
Lamar
you
Miller.
Go with
who are you going with? What was that?
Lamar Miller.
I think he got it.
Ooh.
No Lamar.
I already know who it is. That's my fault. I messed up.
This is the one I don't want to. I don't know if I'm right. Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Yes. He got it. Led the league in rushing. What? Oh. Didn't he lead the league? No, or no,
he,
no, no.
He
that
was in Miami. He had 1,000.
He was.
Yeah, I didn't know if he got to 1,100 or not.
So well, now I have another
back on you again.
Steal.
Well,
there's got to be some old bum in the league now who used to be good. I mean, who else? There.
Did Peyton Hillis ever officially retire?
I'll take a shot that it's Jonathan Stewart.
Nope. Oh, I'm an idiot.
Wow, really? Damashek seals the deal.
Wow.
That's hard because
I feel like it was.
I think it was in 2000.
Was D'Angelo there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we said D'Angelo.
Because
I'm saying, was he there in Carolina?
That was tripping me up because he didn't get to 1,000 last year with Williams. But I think it was in the 2011 season. So I want to.
Here's
or
some
no,
of
no,
the
no,
other
no,
names.
20,
yeah.
2009.
Yep. Other names: Ahmad Bradshaw did it once. Ryan Matthews.
Ahmad Bradshaw is not.
He's active. Ryan Matthews once.
Oh yeah.
Stephen Ridley once.
Oh my god.
And
forgot he was
still
in existence.
CJ Spiller.
Those are listen.
Never would have got those guys.
Yeah.
Fred Jackson never did it? Is
nope.
he considered he a roster guy? I feel a little bit bad about that. Like I don't even know that I fully 100% deserve it since just before I was buzzed out, Kent Brown whispered the answer in my ear. So I don't know
did
if that
you?
Could count. I don't
oh.
know.
What
do
oh my
god. I think it should.
One.
I think
no.
it should count.
It's called
it's an asterisk.
Home field cooking. Home cooking.
I like how they cooked that game up as running backs for Maurice and stats for me, and then Sheck's the one that wins it. On the asterisk, of course.
I don't know. Asterisk nothing. I think
it's
a man of honor who admits what just happened. I just admitted it. And for that, I'm
Barry
a champion. I'm a champion of all. No, Barry never admitted it. That's the difference. All right, now let's talk about Todd Gurley. And I'm a little surprised, Matt Harmon, because to me, here's the thing to remember. If you buy, and it's in the 21st century, as knee surgeries have gotten, they've gotten better at the quick improvement. We've seen Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles and many others bounce back more quickly than another generation would. But still, Todd Gurley had a bad knee injury at Georgia. Then when he got back on the field early last year, he exploded. If the logic stands that he'll be even better this year, then what's not to love going into year two for this guy?
I just think you have a new quarterback.
Right.
And that's going to be difficult.
I know, but isn't Nick Foles or Case Keenum, was that enough to draw
have,
the attention?
You
of
don't
the
have a new quarterback, and Kenny Britt was your number one wide receiver last year. You know, I just don't think that they have a guy to help lighten the box. Now, yes, he still ran well last year. I think he has a chance to do it later on as the quarterback and the receivers get on the same page. But early on, I think they're going to see 8-9 guys in the box. And you have to have a special offensive line to handle that. And I mean, granted, you know what's funny? Their offensive coordinator, Coach Boris, was with me in Jacksonville. We had in 2011 when we had to face 8-9 guys in the box. And so he understands how to attack those. But still, your offensive line has to be special and able to block and let guys go free and know which guy not to block and try to create lanes. So I think he has the ability to do better. And obviously, you know, he should do better because he missed three games last year. Mm-hmm. But still, it's going to be difficult.
My problem with Gurley, and, like, this is a general problem with fantasy and especially the running back position. Like, there are some guys that are just too good, and I think he fits that bill. You know, they break all the rules that you set for themselves. Like, and even last year, like, coming off an injury, playing in a bad offense, didn't matter. He was just, you know, he was just too good, and he played well. This year, I think the point about the quarterback change is well taken. I wouldn't just write in pen right away that Jared Goff is going to make the offense better if he even starts week one, and it does sound like that's a little bit more of an if than it was maybe assumed on draft night. Down the stretch, he only had one game over 100 yards in the last five games.
Can we attribute that to the rookie fatigue?
No question, that was a rookie wall.
For sure, but I still think that he just has a lower weekly floor, maybe not a season-long floor than some of the other top backs. I think guys like Lamar Miller, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott.
I'm scared of Lamar Miller and David Johnson.
I guess so, but because they're both involved in the passing game, I think that gives them a better weekly floor than a guy like Todd Gurley.
But see, I think you're going to start seeing Todd Gurley catch the ball more this year.
I hope so.
Because you got to remember, they changed offensive coordinators in the middle of the year. Right? So you think about that. You have a guy that comes in the last 7 weeks because he wasn't getting the ball enough. So they find him. They're trying to find ways to get him the ball. I think you'll see more creativity where he'll catch the ball. But when you're in the league, it's, you know, I think Warren Sapp said it, and it's one of the things he said that I kind of like one of the only things, right? But he said, like, the fastest adapting organism, is the NFL defense. Mm-hmm. And so – obviously, when you watch, you see things like the Wildcat came and the QB option and all those things came, and then they're gone, right? And so with Todd Gurley, the issue is, how can we stop him? Now, they're going to load the box. We saw the Packers tried, a lot of teams tried it. It didn't work. I think you'll see guys doing different things, throwing at him, just trying to mess up their blocking scheme.
Yeah, well, if they can hold off the on-rushing the pass rushers there, Kenny Britt and Tavon Austin. Austin, talk about hybrid guys. Yeah. Weird split on how many – he had 52 carries last year.
I think he had 52 carries and 52 catches, or they were very close.
Yeah, as I was doing that was sleeper. One of the weird stats that jumped out at me. 52 carries for Tavon Austin. All right, listen, so much to kibitz about between now and the start of the season from a fantasy perspective and beyond. In the meantime, Maurice, what a pleasure to have you back in the fold. It's been like 6 weeks since we've seen you. Football is nigh, everybody. And Matt Harmon, your birthday is here. Go have a good one.
I'll do my best. I think
he's been on this planet 25 years, Shaq.
I know. Have a great time tonight with the younger fellas out there. If you want Maurice to join you, he'll sit there and have a water.
I'm not going.
And
I don't think
it.
So after a rough start today.
Well, you had a rough start, but I think the building of a bridge has begun at least.
You know, Shaq,
is it finished? No.
Last year, one of my first years.
At least I know you work here. There's some people that work here that I didn't know worked here.
Well, see, you mentioned the first year. I've been here a year now, and just you keep your head down. You don't let your make yourself.
You haven't been here a year.
Yeah,
he was here last.
Yeah, he was here last year.
I didn't see him.
Well, just because you didn't.
Now you're making stuff up.
Well, I go out as the champion of our surprise game show, Matt Harmon _
BYB.
BYB. Maurice Jones-Drew, I don't care about the music. You play the music all you want. Maurice, you have to go, though. What's your Twitter handle again?
@Jones_Drew32.
Oh, it's too weird. All right. Well, listen, big news coming. We'll give you more details as the season approaches, but exciting times to announce that me and Maurice and some other people who will announce on the way to your television screen this autumn, talking football. And more good stuff, too. Stay tuned for all of it. Subscribe to the DDFP and beyond. We'll kibitz with you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Now you can play the music. There you go, kid.
I love it.
Da-da-da, I beat Matt Harmon. Good. Stewart was the correct answer to win the game. Kent Brown